99%ers, this is your host, Dr. Jack Rasmus. This is Alternative Visions. Okay, Labor Day coming up this following Monday. So let's take a look at the plight of workers in the COVID economy, the viral economy. By the way, I'm writing a book called The Viral Economy, America's Second Great Recession in the 21st century. First being, of course, 2008 to 15. Okay, let's look at some of the conditions of workers here in the second Labor Day of COVID. All right, let's look at all this hullabaloo about unemployment benefits being cut. Remember the red states, you know, Texas and all those other great progressive places in the country? I think we should have let Texas and these other guys secede way back in the 1860s. Anyway, that's another question. Maybe we'll return to that. But the big argument here was for weeks now that, you know, too much unemployment benefits being paid, that's what's keeping people from going back to work. So we got to get rid of some of this excess unemployment that we're paying people. Oh, but let's not get rid of the excess $120 billion a month that the Federal Reserve is feeding to the bankers and big corporations. No, let's keep that. $120 billion a month. Still going on. They don't need it. They didn't need it in the beginning. But they've been getting it. $120 billion. No one's talking about cutting those guys off. Oh, you know where that money is going? Continuing this digression. No, it's going into the stock market. You know how much the stock market has gone up since the pandemic? S&P 500, big corporations, almost 40%. 40. You want to get a 40% raise if you're a stock owner? Yeah, 40%. Wow. How much have billionaires, the 708 billionaires in this country, made since the beginning of the pandemic? Yeah, the 708 of them. They got a 62% increase from $3 trillion to $4.8 trillion in wealth. Well, that's because of the stock going up. See, they're really wealthy. You know, they make their money in financial asset markets, stock markets, bond markets, derivative markets, currency markets. That's where they make their billions. Oh, ups, 62%. Stock market up almost 40%. Oh, but workers are getting too much unemployment benefits. Let's cut them. And then the red states, about over 20 of them, you know, started cutting out in June. Cutting it out in June. And the argument they used was, oh, it's holding workers from going back to work. It's too generous. So they started cutting it out. 3.5 million people in the red states since June have been thrown off the unemployment benefit rolls. In other words, they cut them out, cut their benefits. Well, did that result in an increase in employment? Well, this data now that's pretty firm. If you compare the states, you know, like California, New York, New Jersey, that did not cut the benefits early. We'll talk about the benefits being cut here this coming week. But they did not cut it early, California, New York, and others. Yeah. Well, their payrolls since June went up 4.2%. Whereas the payrolls in the red states, like Texas, went up 2.5%. So in other words, more workers going back to work in those states where we kept the unemployment benefits than in those states where they ended the unemployment benefits. The same thing you can show for all the states in the leisure and hospitality industry. You know, that's restaurants, hotels, bars, and so forth, right? Well, the states that kept the unemployment benefits saw their payrolls go up 6.5%, whereas the states that cut out the benefits in that industry saw their payrolls go up only 4.6%. I mean, the data is pretty clear. It had nothing to do. The unemployment benefits have nothing to do with discouraging workers from going back to work. False argument, right? But you know, a hallmark of capitalist ideology is always to blame the victims for the problem. Yeah, blame the workers. Oh, they don't want to get lazy. They don't want to go back to work. You know, the unemployment not caused by them. Blame them for it. Blame them for the numbers that show not everybody's going back to work. Okay, then the question becomes, well, why aren't they going back to work? And what are we talking about quantitatively in terms of going back to work? Well, in June, the number of workers who went back to work, 962,000. According to these are Bureau of Labor Statistics, Labor Department numbers here, you know, and you got to take some of this with a grain of salt, but that's the number. Well, in July, the number of going back to work was 1 million. Now we know that 30 million plus were knocked off the job rolls when this COVID precipitated crash occurred in the spring of 2020, over 30 million. And over the course of 2020, you know, maybe 40, 45 million people were unemployed at one point. You know, we got a labor force of about 160 million. So, you know, that's like 25% unemployment rate in 2020 at one point. Okay, so 962,000 in June, 1 million in July returning to work, 3-month average May through July of about 750,000. How many returned to work in today's latest report? In other words, for August, 235,000. Big drop. Shows that this old return to work thing is dissipating, even as they're cutting benefits in red states and now in all the states. You know, the job numbers for September will be very critical. They'll come out the first Friday in October. You know, these labor statistics and data are only for the previous period through about the 12th of the month. It's not for the whole month here of August, the report today. No, it's for 3 weeks in July and about a week, week and a half in August. They call it the August report. So the problem may only be really increasing. And we'll see. Oh, the number on unemployment benefits will drop because they're getting rid of unemployment benefits. But that doesn't mean that those workers have jobs, you see. Okay, we're getting ahead of ourselves a little bit, talking about the today's job report. We'll come back to that. Let's get back to this whole argument of unemployment benefits cutting unemployment benefits. The red states, 20-plus Republican states, having done it at the beginning of the summer, and the rest of the states now occurring here next week. Okay. All right, so how many are losing their benefits? Well, we're talking about this $300 a week supplemental federal, called the PUA benefit. Remember that? When we had the crash began in the spring of 2020, for the first time, they started covering independent workers. In other words, gig workers, freelance workers, and so forth. Before that, they could never get unemployment benefits. You had to work for a company to get unemployment benefits, but they're workers too, you see. Okay, so they realized, you know, that about 10 million of those that they had to provide some sort of benefit for them. So that's when they came out with, under the CARES Act in March 2020, they came out with the $600 a week unemployment benefit, right? Those freelancers and independent contractors, they got the $600. And the $600 was also a supplement to workers who were getting the state unemployment benefits, whatever that is. Usually very low state unemployment benefit system, you know, no more than, you know, a couple hundred dollars on average here in the red states, even less. Okay. So that $600 supplemental benefit continued through August of last year. And then it dropped off. Okay. And then in the last 3 months of last year, 2020, we had a real sharp contraction of the economy again. It barely grew, maybe 1%. And that's optimistic. And then they got worried, you see. They got worried in December of last year, and they reinstituted for a couple months part of that $600 benefit. They gave reinstituted a $300 benefit, okay, $300. There was also back in September 2020, some states were able to move money around from other like disaster relief and so forth to continue for a few more weeks to $300. But that was negligible pretty much. But by the end of the year, they had to reinstitute it because it was, you know, the PUA supplemental was expiring totally at the end of December. So they quickly passed an act called the Consolidated Act, Consolidated Cash Act, and gave $300 checks again, and it gave $300 supplemental unemployment, not the $600, $300. Okay, so that lasted a couple months. And then this past February's Biden's $1.9 trillion relief bill called the American Rescue Plan, that $300 was reinstituted for another 6 months, in other words, until today. And now it goes out totally. But as I said before, the red states started dropping it in June. They said, oh, we don't want it because the workers aren't going back to work, you know. And, of course, we just went over that data that shows that the states that continued unemployment benefits, the 300, actually brought more people back to work at a higher rate than the states like Texas and others that cut the benefit, you know. So there's no data really supporting the argument that if you cut the benefits, the workers will go back to work because they're not working because it's too generous. Okay, so, you know, we have this coming week, 7.5 million more are going to lose their benefits. 3.5 million lost it when these red states cut it early. And we got another 7.5 million losing benefits altogether. These are the mostly these independent contractors, workers, freelancers, gig workers. They're losing it all. And on top of that, 3.7 million more will be losing the $300 as a supplement to their state unemployment benefits. So we got 11.2 million people are going to lose their benefits this Labor Day, right? 11.2 million on top of the 3.5 million that lost it already since June. Happy Labor Day, American workers. Happy Labor Day. Yeah. 14.7 million people over the summer now, you know, big conclusion, losing their unemployment benefits. So why aren't workers going back to work? Well, there's a number of real reasons. It has nothing to do with unemployment benefits. What are those? Well, one very important one is child care availability. There just isn't child care. People are afraid to open up their child care facilities, and working families just can't find child care in many, many places. Or it's unaffordable. Okay, so the government child care benefit passed in the American Rescue Plan in February began in July. Households, you know, under a certain income level, in other words, working class households, have begun getting $300 per child per month. Okay, in many places that's not even half of the cost of childcare. You know, you get into your higher cost cities and so forth. But anyway, it's something. Okay, it's something. But keep in mind. That expires at the end of December. Yeah, that's going to be gone too. Just like the unemployment benefits are gone, that's going to be gone. And what people are getting is something they would have got in a lump sum when they did their taxes next April 2022. In other words, the child care tax credit was moved up early, so people could get some of that money now. It's not in addition to the child care tax credit. You know, it's just moving the money around. And it's gone. That moving up front will be gone in December. And it doesn't look like it's going to be continued, because the continuation of it is part of the proposal by Biden when it's $3.5 trillion called the Family Plan. Human Infrastructure Plan, that looks like is not going to pass. Why? Because Joe Manchin just said in a big Wall Street Journal feature writing story that he can't support the $3.5 trillion. Mr. Corporate Kiss-Ass in Democratic cloth, Joe Manchin. Yeah. And neither will Kristen Sinema, the other Democrat blue dog, support it. So you're not going to get the family leave plan, and you're not going to get continuation of child care. You know, so you got 6 months of that, and then that's gone too. So child care is going to be wiped out. Forbearance, in other words, suspension of payment on student loans, that's going to be gone in January. They're not going to be able to extend that. Why? Well, you know, I mean, that's executive order. Why can't they extend it? Well, rent assistance was executive order too, and the Supreme Court stepped in and said, oh, it's unconstitutional. Supreme Court, see, is playing a game with the Republicans and the radical right in control of state legislatures. They're giving them all the ammunition, the state legislatures, to attack all these benefits, you see. And, of course, as we just know, to attack the right to choose of women, right? That's a big story this past week, right? The state legislatures know the Supreme Court, you know, with a radical 6-3 majority is on their side, so now they're striking hard at everything. Well, they struck down rent assistance, declared that unconstitutional, and now they went after Roe v. Wade. Right? This is just the beginning. And who the hell are these people, these nine selected people, the right to stop legislation across the board, which is what they're doing? You know, I've railed against that in previous shows because nowhere in the Constitution do they have the right to declare anything unconstitutional. That was just a power they usurped, the Supreme Court usurped, after the Constitution was formed. You see, there wasn't even anything in the Constitution, in the Constitutional Convention of 1787, that defined the judicial system. It just said Congress will create a judicial system. And Congress did. But when it did, in 1791, nowhere did it say the Supreme Court would have the right to declare anything unconstitutional. And that's what it's doing now. You know, it's helping the right-wingers in the red states and Texas and places like that. Is aiding and abetting them, giving them the ammunition to do their dirty work. And we saw it with the rent assistance. We see it with what's happening now with Roe v. Wade. And as I said, it's just the beginning. Okay. So, you know, back to our Labor Day party here for the working class. We talk about the benefit cuts, and then we said, well, just to recap a little bit, this whole argument about workers not going back to work because they're getting too much unemployment benefits is just nonsense. The facts don't support it anymore, finally. So why aren't they going back to work, to return to that point? Well, I said child care, right? Affordability and availability of child care is one reason. Then I got off on a digression, you know, about child care. Another question, another reason is, you know, workers are still afraid of being exposed to Delta, COVID Delta, which is now raging. Look, the wave that we're in now, the COVID wave, which is the third or fourth wave here, at least the third, you know, in April 2020, we had March, April, the wave, the first wave. And then we had the big wave over the winter. You could say there was a bit of a wave summer, July, August. And then we had the big wave over the winter. And now we got another one in the summer when you're not supposed to have it in the summer, you see. Yeah. And by the way, this Delta COVID wave now is hospitalizing and deaths greater than the original wave in March, April of 2020. It's bigger. Not quite as big as last winter, but it's bigger. Even though you have a lot of people vaccinated. It's because, you know, the unvaccinated are the ones who are really getting it. As well as people who have really compromised immune systems. Why are so many people with compromised immune systems where the vaccines probably don't work as well? Why? How many are we talking about? Well, at least 10 million Americans are taking prescription drugs to suppress their immune system. 10 million. Now, some of these are justified, but a lot of it is big pharma pushing solutions by providing drugs, you know, for all kinds of things. Oh, my skin is not clear. Well, take an immune suppressant, right? Here, we got it. You know, big pharma says, you know, or this or that. Suppress the immune system. 10 million taking the drugs. How many more have suppressed immune systems aren't taking drugs? Okay, so people with vaccinations who have suppressed immune systems are probably getting it. And probably even when they got shots, it was not enough and they really need a booster, you know? So this COVID wave is really the wave of the unvaccinated and people, I think, with suppressed immune systems, compromised immune systems. It's a big wave. And that's discouraging people from going back to work in many places. Yeah. You know, it warms my heart to read every week here about some talk show host, you know, right-winger talk show host who were peddling the whole argument that vaccines don't work, you know, peddling that nonsense, usually because then they had some snake oil gimmick or something they wanted people to buy or to subscribe to or whatever, you know, usually there's money behind that. But anyway, a lot of those people, you know, you read now, oh, they're getting it and they're dying. Well, Darwin got them. Yeah, Darwin's going to get those people. Anyway, you know, this wave is the consequence of the unvaccinated and the immune repressant folks, who most of whom are in that condition because of Big Pharma pushing those drugs to suppress their immune system, you know, with the promise it's going to solve their problem, right? If your hair's falling out because you're getting older, well, you know, take our immune suppressant drug to keep your hair from falling out or some nonsense like that. Okay. So workers are afraid to go back to work. And also, you got early retirees. People are dropping out altogether and saying, oh, I'm retiring. I can't take this, you know, and then trying to survive on Social Security. You got a couple million early retirees. They're not going back to work for a whole host of reasons. Right. And then you got a lot of young workers who were working, you know, millennials and so forth, Gen Zers, who were working in these low-paid service jobs with, you know, insufficient hours of work or unstable hours of work. So they had to go get two or three of these jobs. They're tired of that. They're saying, you know, I can't live the rest of my life on $15 an hour even. Try living on $15 an hour in California. You know, you'll end up under an overpass, guaranteed. You just can't do it. I mean, $15 an hour that they're trying to shoot for, that they're saying, oh, in 5 years maybe. What is $15 an hour? You know, it's $30,000 a year. You know, that's what that is. $15 an hour is about, $2,500 or $2,000, a little over $2,000 gross a month. And then, of course, after taxes and everything, it's like $1,500-$1,600 a month net. Well, you pay that much in San Francisco for a one-room apartment, $1,600. And all over. Wow. You can't live on minimum wage even in the big cities. You know, maybe in Tupelo, Mississippi in the exurbs you might. But not in California, not on the West Coast, not on the Northeast, you know, not in the big cities, anywhere. Oh, but we, you know, we're really pushing for $15 an hour. That's going to make a big difference. Well, you know, low-wage workers, young folks, are, you know, without families especially, saying, hey, I can't do this. I got no future. And they're looking around for something better, you know. Trying to get out of these service jobs, particularly leisure and hospitality, you know, restaurants, bars, hotels, you know, entertainment, movie theaters, etc. They're trying to get out of that. Those are the real reasons why they're not going back to work. It's not because they're getting too too much unemployment benefits, right? And, you know, we're talking about 15, 16, 17 million people still getting benefits or dropped out of the labor force for whatever reason, or there's a couple other reasons here, who are unemployed, but yet they keep telling us, oh, and the report today by Labor Department, oh, 8.4 million are jobless. No, the number's twice that. Oh, the unemployment rate went down to 5.2%. No, it's over 10%. See, they cherry-pick the numbers they like, and they throw them at you. And the media is complicit in all that. They keep telling you, oh, 5 million unemployed, that's all. Or we're 5 million down still only from 2019, and 8.4 million are jobless, when there's really 15, 16, 17 million without jobs. I mean, hell, over 12 million are still getting benefits, unemployment benefits. They're unemployed. And, of course, they get knocked off of those benefits, so it looks like things are getting better, you see. Oh, fewer people collecting unemployment benefits. Well, how was that number created? Not because they got jobs, but because they were simply denied unemployment benefit continuing. Makes it look good. But the numbers are still double what they're telling us. Yeah. On Labor Day 2021. You know, workers are also those who are largely affected by rent assistance. You know, probably at least half of median workers are renters. And of course, low wage renters, those who are getting paid very little, are the ones, which are largely people of color, workers of color, are the ones who are getting knocked off of rent assistance. $46 billion passed in $21 billion, I think it was, in the American Rescue Plan here in February, and before that in the Consolidated Cash Act at the end of December last year, $25 billion. So that was like $46 billion, right? They haven't distributed hardly any of that money. Why? Oh, you know, again, the Republicans and the right-wingers say that, it's the Biden administration, incompetent administration, can't get the money out, and so forth. No, it's mostly landlords who don't want the money. Yeah, believe me. Look, to get rent assistance payment, two things got to happen. The renter has to file the forms, and boy, are they complicated in some cases. You know, they're very much like filing all that paper when you try to refi your mortgage or buy a house. Tons of paper, very complicated. You know, and no one really to help an average renter. You know, who hasn't done this before? Because they are a renter, they haven't bought houses before in most cases. To file, but the landlord must in parallel also file for rent assistance, and landlords don't want to do that, especially the landlords who are part of these private equity firms buying up all these rentals. They don't want to do it. Well, why don't they want to do it? Well, a number of reasons. Here's some. The rent assistance, $46 billion, right? Terms and conditions are such that the government will only reimburse 80%. The landlord has to absorb 20% of the back rent owed. We're talking about at least $75 billion. At least that's what Moody's Analytics, business research firm, estimated at the beginning of this year. $75 billion would pay up all the back rent that's been suspended. Compare that to the $120 billion a month given free to bankers at no cost, right? In other words, you could wipe out all of the $75 billion owed back rent, you know, by the Fed saying, okay, we're going to take some of this $120 billion a month just for 1 month, and we're going to pay up all the back rent, you see. But they're not going to do that. Because the Fed is there for the bankers. He's not there for the rest of us, you see. Okay, so only 80%. Oh, you know, the landlords say, no, no, I don't like 80%. I don't want to eat the other 20%. That's one reason that they won't file reports in parallel so that the money can come to pay for the back rent. Plus the terms and conditions of the government paying 80% is you can't evict these people now. You know, there's a stop on evictions. Well, the landlords want to get the money and evict them. A lot of these landlords, you know, they want to sell the apartments, particularly those that own single-family homes, two or three of them, you know. I mean, the home prices are going through the roof, so they want to sell, you know, at least one of their several homes that they own and they're renting out. You know, very profitable now with home prices up, what, 15, 20% over 1 year. Okay. And the terms and conditions prevent them from collecting the other 20% in back rent. The government pays 80, they got to eat the other 20. Well, the landlords want to say, okay, I want to collect the other 20%. And if the renter doesn't pay me that other 20%, then I want to evict them. Okay. But no, you can't collect your back rent 20% according to the terms and conditions, right? And you can't use one late payment as the straw that broke the camel's back allows you to evict people. There's limits on evictions if you're going to get your debut. So, you know, all these terms and conditions, you know, the landlords look at this and say, ah, you know, I don't like it. So I'm not going to file in parallel to the renter filing, who has a hard time filing. Therefore, you've got $46 billion sitting there unspent. And the right-wingers and Republicans are saying, oh, you know, it's not being used. Send it back to the Treasury. So that's the reality, right? How many? 11.4 million people behind in their rent as of early August. 11.1 million people. Right? And one-fourth of all the landlords who own single-family homes want to sell them. That's another statistic of interest here, isn't it? Yeah. So workers on Labor Day 2021 who are renters are getting a double whammy. By the way, you know, if you get evicted, how the hell are you going to find another rent? Because the new landlords know if you got evicted, they're not going to rent you their place. Where are these people going to go? You know, as many as 11 million. And by the way, that's adults in the household. There are kids there involved too, right? So you got probably 15 to 20 million people who are going to be hit by this eviction moratorium being discontinued. Okay, so we're cutting unemployment benefits, right? They're cutting rent assistance, right? Child care is going to go out the window by the end of the year. What do we got? Well, I'll tell you, we got creeping austerity going on for the working class. Creeping austerity. Austerity meaning, let's end these social programs. We already ended the checks. There's no more supplemental checks. You know, that stopped last spring. Now the unemployment benefits and the rent assistance. Soon the child care. They're taking it all back. They give with one hand and they take back with the other. Austerity. Oh, but they're not taking back the $120 billion that they're giving bankers and their friends every month. No, they're not taking that back. They just had a Fed meeting and decided they weren't going to do that. You know, they've already given them $4 trillion since the pandemic began. $4 trillion to bankers and investors that they did not need because they were fat with cash when this thing all began, and they're even fatter now. And what did they do with all that cash? Well, they borrow it from the Fed and they invest it because it's cheap. It's virtually free in real terms. It's free money. And they invest it in the stock market. And that's why the stock market goes up 40%. It's all being diverted, or most of it, into financial asset markets. Yeah. That's how the system's working now, you see. It used to be fiscal and monetary policy was about trying to stabilize the economy. You know, it gets too hot, slow it down. You know, it gets too cold, throw some money in, speed it up, you know. Stabilize the economy. But now it's all about subsidizing capital incomes. That's what it's all about. That's what neoliberal fiscal monetary policy is all about. Central bank subsidizing investors and markets, financial markets. Congress, tax cut, tax cut, tax cut for the rich, for the investors. Well, no wonder we got income inequality running amok. Right? At the same time, you know, workers get whacked by the COVID recession, Great Recession 2.0. They get whacked, and you throw a few crumbs at them to prevent a revolution, and what do you get? Well, you know, when things look like they're leveling out, or when you think, you meaning policymakers, when you think that, oh, the economy is opening up, we don't have to do this anymore, well, you take back what you gave, austerity. That happened before under Obama. As I said on the show before, Obama passed a $787 billion rescue plan in January 2009. It wasn't enough. He had to throw another $25 billion into the cash for clunkers. In other words, we'll buy your old car, get it off the road. And another $25 billion for first-time home buyers. So, you know, a little over $800 billion. But then in August of 2011, Obama agrees with the Republicans to take back $1.5 trillion in social programs. So they give with one hand, they take back twice as much with the other. That's called austerity. Creeping austerity is beginning to occur here this time as well. You'll see the infrastructure bill, $550 billion more, pass. But that won't hit the economy until late 2022 at the earliest. And this $3.5 trillion here, the Sanders repackaging of the proposals earlier in the year in the infrastructure, they took the human infrastructure out of the infrastructure bill, dumped it into this $3.5 trillion family plan. That won't pass. You won't see that at all, my prediction. No. And the Democrats will say, well, see, it's the Republicans' fault. What we need to do is elect more Democrats in November 2022 if you wanted to get this passed. That will be their spin, their message for not getting this passed. But they could pass it. They got a majority in both houses of Congress. They could pass it with budget resolution, but they won't because the Blue Dog senators, when 11 Blue Dog House of Representatives will scuttle it. Why are they scuttling it? Because they know if they have to pay another $3.5 trillion in social programs, that they're going to have to raise the taxes on corporations and the rich, and they don't want to do that. They don't want to take away Trump's $4.5 trillion tax cuts. They want to keep them. Why? Because the mansions and cinemas and the other blue dogs are corporate wolves in sheep's clothing. They're wearing a Democratic mantle, but it's the corporate wing of the Democratic Party is running the Democratic Party. You know, Sanders and the progressives can jump up and down and scream and run around, but it doesn't matter because they get outmaneuvered every time. That's the reality of the Democratic Party. It's corporate controlled, just as Republicans are. You see? Yeah. Okay. So that's why you won't get $3.5 trillion passed. That's dead on arrival already. And you're not going to get stimulus from the traditional infrastructure bill and in time for the 2022 election. And whatever was passed in the February American Rescue Plan, the $1.9 trillion, is gone or is being taken away. The checks are dissipated. The rent assistance isn't happening. And unemployment benefits are being cut. And child care soon, and student loan following that. So where's the stimulus for the economy? It's not there. Oh, but they believe that the economy opening up will solve the problem. We don't need to do this. We can take it back, you see, the stimulus. We can take it back because, oh, the economy is opening up. But is it? Well, they said the same thing last summer, you see. Oh, the rebound. Oh, we're going to rebound. And then a rebound dissipated, collapsed, fourth quarter last year. Well, we have the same repeat here, the rebound. Well, you know, if you look at the jobs creation, well, that's clearly tailing off, isn't it? Only 235,000 return to work. You see, these aren't new jobs. These are return to work jobs. Yeah. They say, oh, job creation. They didn't create these jobs. They just opened the door again. Come and take them. These aren't new jobs. I'll tell you the jobs that did disappear. Are the millions of small businesses that disappeared. Those jobs are gone for good. Millions of them. You know, conservative estimate is like 980,000 businesses went out. Well, I've seen other estimates that are in several million of small business jobs that disappeared. And they all had workers. Yeah. Those jobs are truly jobs that have disappeared. But these jobs, they say, that are being created every month, which aren't now, they say are new jobs. Well, they're not. They're returnees to jobs. But they don't make that distinction, you see. Yeah. So we got 11 million workers who are going to lose their rent. And we got 11 million plus losing their benefits this coming week. And if you look at today's jobs report, let's take that on, the jobs report, right? As I said before, there are a number of serious errors even in their actual jobs report there, Bureau of Labor Statistics, Labor Department, right? There's this whole category of millions who aren't counted as unemployed because they are asked, what is your status here? They're working, you know, they're at home, they're not working. A lot of single moms, a lot of mothers teaching their kids, right? If you answer you're unemployed, I don't have a job, but I expect to return, expectation to return to work because, you know, my employer only told me to stay home because they shut down the facility because of COVID. But I'm still employed. I expect to return to work. If you answer that, you're considered employed, even though you're not getting any money, you see. Even though you're sitting at home not getting any money. You're unemployed with expectation of return. You're not considered part of the unemployed. Well, there's probably 1.5 million of people still in that category. Right. Another error was the seasonality error in June. You know, the schools opened in the spring, and to make up some of the lost time, the teachers, K through 12, continue teaching kids into June. Okay, normally, they don't work in June. And then their numbers are seasonally adjusted by the Labor Department. But because they continued working into June, the Labor Department didn't make the seasonality adjustment, said, oh, these are new workers, 220,000 teachers considered new jobs in June. Big error, right? Yeah. Well, let's look at the Labor Department report, the 235 or 38,000 new jobs compared to 1 million in the previous months, and over the previous 3 months, 750,000 average, as the economy opened up and people returned to work, you know, but now a big drop-off of 235,000. And that's only through August 12th, you see. Let's see what September 12th will be next month. Well, if you look at, you've got state and local government lost 11,000 jobs, down in August compared to July. Restaurants, 42,000 down compared to July. Nursing homes, 7,000. Home health workers, 11,000. Retail, 29,000. Higher education, public higher education, 21,000 down compared to the previous month. And no one's saying the bottom is dropped out of the recall, the work. Or they're blaming the workers themselves, see, right? But as I said, you know, there's really 17, 18 million people unemployed, 12 million getting benefits, although they're being denied soon. 3 million dropout, 1 million in this category of unemployed with expectations of return, a couple million retired early, right? That's 17, 18 million people not working. Right. Unemployment rate, they say in the latest report, went down to 5.2%. Well, it's really over 10% still. And here's an interesting fact in the latest report today. You know, a lot of this stuff is seasonally adjusted. It's a statistical manipulation on the real data of jobs. In other words, they smooth it out. They smooth out the declines by doing a seasonality adjustment. They smooth out the rises. You know, they want to keep these numbers smooth. They do the same thing with inflation numbers, right? Employment, unemployment numbers. That's what the Labor Department does. Okay, so let's look at the actual numbers. And this is in the labor report. The actual, not the seasonally adjusted numbers. Actual meaning people who are really employed or not employed before they do their manipulation and smoothing. Okay, let's look at table A-8, right? Those who are employed, not seasonally adjusted, actually, you know, how many employed? Well, in July, 153 million 596,000 private, non-farm, right, working, actual, employed, 153,596. In August, 153,232,000. In other words, those actually employed, not seasonally adjusted, we have a decline of 364,000 in August compared to July. A decline, not a 235,000 job gain, but employed, how many fewer employed in August compared to July? 364,000, private non-farm. Well, wait a minute. I mean, this is an actual number. They're not employed. Employment went down by 364,000 last month. Why aren't we hearing more about that? Well, here's another one from Table 8. Actual, not seasonally adjusted. Non-agricultural industries. In other words, we're counting, we're not counting agriculture here. In the private sector, in July, the July report showed 121,489,000 private sector employed workers. Okay. How many in August? Number goes down to 120,904,000. In other words, in the private sector, according to Table A-8 of today's report, we have a decline of employment of 585,000 in 1 month. Well, wait a minute. How do you explain that? These are their own numbers that say we have a decline in the number of total employed, not seasonally adjusted. Right? The actual data in the private sector, not government, not agriculture, right? Of 121,489,000 in the prior month, and last month 120,904,000, a decline of 585,000 in the report. You see, what you get are the cherry-picked best numbers in the media. You know? And you got to take a lot of the seasonality adjustment with a grain of salt, as they say. Right? Just as you got to look behind the numbers. You know, you just can't, buy the, only 8.4 million out of work. You know, we're only 5 million down from 2019. The unemployment rate's only 5.2%. You know, a good safe rule of thumb is double all those numbers. You know, the seasonality adjustment gimmick isn't the only one. There are other ways of manipulating these numbers. And then the media picks up the best numbers. So beware of what the media says. And the politicians pick up, the best numbers because they want to look like they're doing something. But the job situation is not all that rosy for workers. In Labor Day 2021, their benefits are being cut off here and there and everywhere, right? And the job numbers are not all that great. We'll see, next couple months whether this trend continues. And if it does, then what we got is a repeat of last year, 2020, a summer rebound and a dissipation, it was a fading of the rebound. Oh, they'll talk about GDP, and GDP, they're already saying that. We're already recovered everything from where we were. GDP is back up, but there's a lot of problems with GDP. We can talk about them maybe next week. You can't measure recovery by GDP when you got labor markets in such a bad state and when you got cutting off of benefits and wages and so forth. It's not by accident that correlated with all this last month is both retail sales collapsing and total consumer spending declining as well. Retail sales make up most of consumer spending, household, and consumer spending makes up 68% of the economy. You got those two things really revealing themselves last month on top of all this job numbers. And you have surveys of consumer household sentiment by the University of Michigan, which is the primary one, showing, a collapse of consumer sentiment. And the Conference Board, the same thing. So, we're seeing a reflection of this labor market in the real numbers finally. And we'll celebrate Labor Day here.